Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, hour number one, just about coming to a close. But before we say goodbye to the 3 o'clock hour, let's say hello to Dave Boyer, Washington Times White House reporter. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I see where the president did indeed use that all-important auto pen.
He did. It's such a personal touch, isn't it? He used a mechanical device to sign the fiscal cliff legislation that, you know, provides most Americans with a further tax cut. And he was in Hawaii at the time vacationing with his family, and somewhere in the bowels of the White House, there's a device that, you know, traces a copy of his signature onto the legislation. So that's how they handled it.
You know, you got to ask the question, then, why did he come back in the first place? You know, everybody thought there would be some kind of pomp and circumstance to an actual signing of this bill. You know, it would be delivered in the middle of the night to the White House, and the president would be sitting there burning the candle, you know, have pens in hand, ready to sign. And yet he jumps on the plane, goes back to Hawaii, and then uses this mechanical device.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to the negotiations between Christmas and New Year's, you know, really, Vice President Biden was the one who was in the thick of it. The only meeting that happened with the president of the White House is when we had Speaker Boehner ending up telling off the majority leader of the Senate, so that didn't go very well. So maybe he should have stayed in Hawaii.
Yeah, really. All right, now, you and I talked about some of this yesterday, but in your story today, you talk about lessons learned from the fiscal cliff deal. I guess, first of all, John Boehner evidently learned something, because today he came out and said there'll be no more one-on-ones with President Obama. So it's obvious he learned that he can't deal with him one-on-one. It just doesn't work out for him.
Yeah, it just doesn't. And I think we saw a little bit of an indication of that today when he was reelected Speaker of the House, but 13 House Republicans did not vote for him, and that's like a mini rebellion he has on his hands there. And so the Speaker said, "I'm just going to go with regular order from now on," which means, you know, the House passes a bill, the Senate passes another version of it, and then you work on a conference committee, and the White House is working with its representatives in the Democratic Party to get things done. But he's not going to do any of this sit down and try to hash things out with the president.
Yeah. You know, another thing I think the Republicans learned from this is that the Democrats can't be trusted on limiting their reach for more tax dollars. You know, yesterday you and I talked about Sander Levin and his comments regarding, hey, we're not done with taxing, you know, you don't put a cap on this. And then, of course, the president backed that up. And then today we hear Debbie Wasserman Schultz out with the same message saying, okay, now we're going to get into these cuts, but hey, in order to make the cuts, we're going to need more revenue.
Yeah, it really, you know, you can see the next train wreck coming here, you know, between the two parties with the need for to either raise the debt ceiling or deal with spending cuts, and the lessons that the Democrats have taken away from this fiscal cliff negotiation is that, okay, now Republicans are willing to raise taxes, so anytime we go in and try to reduce the deficit, we're also going to require a tax increase, as the president says, to balance, get a balanced approach. While the Republicans, on the other hand, have said, look, the lesson we've learned from this is that Obama got his tax increases. That's all he's ever going to get from us. And from now on, we're just going to focus on spending cuts. And those two approaches don't seem to meet anywhere.
Yeah. You know, that's all well and good until we get to the point on March 1st or somewhere thereabouts where the government, where you get to the point where the government could be shut down as a result of them not reaching any agreement. And then once again, the Republicans will be painted as the bad guys in all of this, and then I foresee another Obama victory.
Are you saying someone's going to cave at that point? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, don't you think the Democrats are thinking exactly that right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we heard Senator Pat Toomey, who I know pretty well from Pennsylvania, a Republican in the Senate, say yesterday, we Republicans have to be willing to go that route, you know, to endure a partial temporary government shutdown to get to make the Democrats realize that we're serious.
Yeah. And Toomey's one of the guys who voted for this, by the way, just to point that out. I think
yes.
all
yes.
four, I think there were, Both senators and a bunch of congressmen from Pennsylvania voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Along with Senator Coburn, right? And,
yeah.
You know, many others who are, you know,
yeah.
talking a tough talk on taxes. But they felt like, at least many of them did, that the better, the more effective fight from their position is to, you know, use the debt ceiling issue as leverage against the president, you know, and by the end of February.
Yeah. Dave, I saw you wrote a story about Obama signing a defense measure he once vowed to veto. What is it and what changed?
Right. It's the Defense Authorization Act, which provides about $630 billion for operating the Pentagon programs for the coming year. And, you know, the president had threatened to veto this as Congress was working on it late last year. You know, this issue has come up before about Congress wanting to make sure the president doesn't try to move any of the terrorism detainees from the Gitmo detention center in Cuba at the naval base to the United States proper to, you know, undergo a trial, for example. You remember Eric Holder once upon a time saying that he was going to try terrorism suspects in the United States.
Yeah.
And so that fight's been going on for quite a while, and the president had threatened to veto this same bill last year over one of the same issues. And so this year he again decided that, you know, on balance there were too many other important things in this bill that the country needed to get done, you know, providing for, you know, all sorts of Pentagon operations, excuse me. And so he went ahead and signed it anyway, and said he attached a signing statement with it, much as George W. Bush has done in the past, saying there are many things in this bill that I don't agree with, and I'm going to interpret it the way I want to interpret it and carry out the law the way I think it should be carried out. And so that's sort of, you know, undermining the will of Congress in signing that law.
Hey, that's pretty cool. That's sort of like getting a thing from the boss with one of those little yellow post-it notes on it saying, hey, this is pretty good, but change this.
Exactly. Yeah. And sort of like the employees, well, I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah.
I may not do that.
Yeah, really. All right. And finally, what's the president doing today? Do we know?
Well, he went to the gym at Marine Base in Hawaii, and after that, I don't know what he's going to do, but he is scheduled to come back to Washington on late Saturday, early Sunday.
Oh, wow. So he's not going to be there too long. I saw some of the photos being sent out by the White House of this vacation place where he and the family are hanging out. Man, oh, man. That's very nice. That's not a trailer park, you know?
It's nice living. I've seen photos online of the hotel where the press stays nearby, and that looks really sweet. I wish I could get one of the managers at the Washington Times to send me out there on this duty, this very tough beach duty one of these days, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're the guy that's always posted in a van outside of an event, just kind of waiting for it to end.
That's right, watching other people drink beer from inside a van, right?
Yeah. All right. Hey, so what happens to the White House staff at this point when the president's out of town? I mean, are they still, you know, do a lot of people use this occasion to take time off as well?
Yeah, some of them do. There's many people who are still working. You know, they go out to Hawaii with him, and, you know, somebody's got to be there to handle the press out there, and you know, he's got his advisors giving him the daily briefings in the morning, look at all these bills that are being signed or by, you know, whether it's by a mechanical device or by the president. You've got, you know, legal staff going over the bills that Congress has churned out in the last couple of weeks to make sure there's no problems with them. And so, you know, there's still quite an operation going on at the White House. But, yes, there is, you know, some people are able to take advantage of time off.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping to one day you get to use that hula skirt that you've been keeping in the back of your car.
All right,
Dave. Thanks for the update. See you later. Dave Boyer, Washington Times White House reporter. 3:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.